All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Gucci Buckeye is on. Chopper Supernut is on. King Slutzy McGroin is on. Mike Griffith's on. Hassle Free TV is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Supergirl 21 is on. 50925 McDonald is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Let me see. 11 Carl 11 is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Prayers Works 2 is on. LEG1963 is on. Judy Anita is on. Robin Aroni is on. Sixlin's on. PJ Wiles is on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Gritterdom is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. D9597 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Lita Bonita is on. Granite 2468 is on. Volvo 960 is on. Stefa Toms is on. Salty Gonads is on. Whammy Jammer 79 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Let me see here. Diana 91263 is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Let me see here. Joe Heathen is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Scrolling down. Snoddoddle 311 is on. Todd Suff is on. Lisa Sobo is on. JD Wool is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Earth Tours is on. John Phillips is on. KGP Co. is on. Neo Solo is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Hector Antonio is on. Let me see here. Going down. Producer Aaron is on. Uncle Wally is on. Scrolling down. Ninja Daddy 12 is on. Seeing some new names. Glad you're on. The Picket Fence is on. All right, I think I got back down to the bottom there. All right, let's hop right through this. We are continuing to go through the judicial warfare of judge shopping in blue jurisdictions. Blue judges, blue juries, blue grand juries. And none of this is even jury stuff. These are just Trump. These are just judges legislating from the bench. And I just wanted to show you these numbers before we hop into this so everybody, excuse me, understands the level of judicial warfare that we are at right now. Put the first one up for me. This is the actual numbers. I hope that you can read them. Aaron, blow them up as big as you can. But this is the actual numbers. If you were to look at how many injunctions have been filed against Donald Trump in his years, totals in comparison to all these other presidents. So presidential administration that promulgated the enjoined policy, you got Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden all, comparing those four administrations. Total injunctions against George W. Bush, 6. Obama, 12. Trump, 64. Biden, 14. This is what happens when you rattle the establishment, when you are actually cutting off people's financial supply. This is what happens when you actually rattle the establishment, when you rattle the corruption. Injunctions issued by a judge appointed by president of opposing parties. So get that. Injunctions issued by a judge appointed by a president of the opposing party. George W. Bush, because he went along to get along. There's no difference between a Bush and an Obama. They've known each other for generations via the CIA, all the way back to Satoru, Barack Obama's dad. So Obama, 7. Trump, 59. Biden, 14. So it shows you when you are over the target, when you are doing what is correct, you are going to receive opposition. That's the way that it is. And Donald Trump is doing this. And these judges are all legislating from the bench. But they're all corrupt because they're not legislating according to the Constitution, the oath that they swore. They're legislating according to the party that they belong to. They are legislating according to the political beliefs that they have. You're never supposed to do that. Of course, that's what they're doing. They are political activists. Go to the next one for me. Here's a pick from Breitbart. Judge who blocked USAID. This is Chuang. I believe it's C-H-U-A-N-G. Chuang or Chang. I'm not sure. Judge who blocked USAID cuts. And that's not aid at all. It's just, but USAID cuts is longtime Democrat activist. Should you even be allowed to be a judge? Like I said before, you shouldn't be able to be a judge if you're an activist for either party. That's a sacrifice that you have to make. If you're going to be an activist, then you cannot be a judge. You shouldn't be able to be a right-wing or a left-wing activist and then judge right-wingers or left-wingers. You shouldn't be able to. I mean, obviously, you're going to have people leftist beliefs being a judge and right-wing beliefs being a judge. But you cannot be an activist to be a judge, because obviously you're going to judge then as an activist. And the judge who blocked USAID cuts is longtime Democratic Party activist. And again, USAID exists. It's the U.S. Agency for International Development. It's an NGO without the N in front of it. It's a governmental organization. But all that USAID does is form NGOs to employ Democrats. And then that NGO then further employs Democrats by hiring Democratic Party law firms and giving money to Democratic Party causes and giving money to Democratic Party campaigns. That is what this whole our entire country is about right now. That's it. So that's why Trump had 64 injunctions filed against him. And everybody else is basically in single digits. Whether it's Bush, Biden, or Obama, all the rest of them are in single digits. Donald Trump has 64 total injunctions, 59 put on him by judges who are Democrats. Only 5 put on by judges who are quote unquote Republicans. But we all know that when you're a Bush appointee, you're not a true Republican, because you were appointed by somebody who's not a true Republican. So Judge Chang here, who wants to make sure that there's Muppet shows in Iraq that you and I are paying for, $50 million for circumcisions in Mozambique, this guy is a Democratic Party activist. You're like, he doesn't care about the Muppet shows, obviously. He doesn't care. I want to make sure this is clear for everybody. He doesn't care about the Muppet shows. And that's the Democrats come on. We're fine with cutting those things. What he cares about is the people disseminating the money to those various causes, because the people disseminating the money are the ones getting paid multi-million dollar salaries. So you're part of the Brookings Institute or whatever, some sort of democracy institute, whatever it may be. Here's one. National Endowment for Democracy. National Endowment for Democracy, first of all, is a CIA cutout. Second of all, it's an NGO. And it's fully staffed by Democrats with multi-million dollar salaries, who then they are the ones who then disseminate money. So it has nothing to do with where the money goes. It's who gets to disseminate it. It's the exact same thing with the Clinton Foundation, which I've said a dozen times on this podcast. Clinton Foundation, just on their tax return, brings in like 36 million that while one or both of them are in office. Now the Clinton Foundation really doesn't exist anymore. I wonder why that is, because they're paying, obviously, bribery for political favors. But anyway, so they bring in $36 million in donations. What do they give away? They're supposed to be this, Clinton Foundation for charity. It's supposed to be giving money to poor kids, feeding kids, right? That's what it's supposed to be doing. Well, they gave away, of the $36 million that they brought in, they gave away $5 million, and the rest went to people giving away the $5 million. So $29 million was paid to the people to give away $5 million. That's what the United States is completely and totally about. Just so you know, that's what we're totally about. That's Trump changes it. And idiots like this, while Trump is trying to change that level of corruption, idiots like this who are probably receiving that money third or fourth hand anyway, try to stop him from doing it. Go to the next one for me. Rod D. Martin tweet. The judge's wife, lo and behold, is the former vice president. Oh, what is this? Oh, what is that? What could this actually be? The National Immigration Forum.
Oh, my gosh.
We all know what that is. Another NGO, a Soros dark money conduit that you and I also pay into, I'm sure, that also funded the evangelical immigration table, whatever on earth that is. So his wife, so the judge is presiding over whether or not money goes to his wife. And he's allowed to be there. And Democrats, you rejoice in this? Maybe you're a Democrat and you're watching on the Christian Television Network right now, or you stumbled upon it on Rumble. Or we're on Facebook and YouTube too. So maybe you stumbled upon this podcast. You're okay with that? You're okay with a judge making a ruling about money going to his own wife via USAID? Yeah, you're fine with it now because it goes against Trump. But what if it was the other way around? What if it was a Democrat? What if it was a Democrat who was running USAID right now? And it was going to a judge. And the judge, as a Republican, was making a decision about money going to his wife. Well, I bet you'd be up in arms about that, wouldn't you? Shouldn't say up in arms now, but with the Democrats, because they are the most violent Democratic Party in the history of America. So his wife, look at the Canico of the Great, breaking District Judge Theodore Chang, orders President Trump, Elon Musk, and Doge to restore USAID money going to his wife. That's how corrupt the world is right now. All right, let's go to the next one. Natalie Winter's tweet. The judge ordering transgender troops. So you got a judge ordering money to his wife. Imagine that being your motive in life. And then you have the judge ordering transgender troops in the military volunteered for Joe Biden's 2020 campaign. So the judge ordering transgender troops back into the military after they've been banned by Trump and Hegseth, volunteered on Joe Biden's 2020 campaign. Should you be a judge if you're a volunteer on a campaign?
No.
Absolutely not. You can vote for the person, but you shouldn't be a political activist. Because obviously, that's who you are in your heart. You're a political activist. You shouldn't be a judge. What should you be? A political activist. Be a politician.
Yeah.
Run campaigns. You shouldn't be a judge. And then all the Democrats come and say to us, you should believe in the judicial system. I'm going to believe in the judicial system when a ruling is being made by my political opponent on me? I think not. So there you go. Here's another one. So the judge is ordering transgender troops back into the military. And by the way, whether it's Chang or anybody, I don't care whether it's Chuang or Chang. I'm calling him Chang because it's too hard to say anything else. I don't care which one it is. I don't care what their beliefs are. It really doesn't matter. They don't have the authority to do any of this. And where is John Roberts? We'll get into that in a second. Where is John Roberts? Because he could be holding these, because these judges here are federal judges. They're actually under the authority of the SCOTUS. He could be reined in right now by John Roberts, chief of the SCOTUS. He could do it, but he's not doing a thing. I wonder why that is. All right, let's go to the next one. Sean Davis tweet. Well, here it is. John Roberts personally placed James Boasberg on the FISA court that rubber stamped illegal spy warrants against Donald Trump. That can't be on purpose, could it? It couldn't be that John Roberts is sabotaging the Trump administration, could it? I mean, that couldn't happen. Now, Boasberg is the one that turned around our flights full of Trenday, tried to turn around three flights, actually told them to turn around mid-flight. He believes that he actually has the authority to turn around a flight mid-flight. This is a judge honestly believes that he has that authority. This guy was placed on the FISA court by John Roberts. And so we're wondering why it is. Now, John Roberts has just come out speaking against Boasberg's impeachment. Mm. That's strange, isn't it? It's almost as if John Roberts is no different than Boasberg. It's almost as if John Roberts is no different than any of these leftist judges. You know why? Because he's not. Well, Tom, but he did. If he didn't vote, listen, folks, if he didn't vote in some ways conservatively, then he'd lose all credibility himself. He'd just absolutely lose all credibility. They can't do that. That's why McConnell will make sure that he gets conservative judges approved. He'll get the conservative judges confirmed. He'll do some things because they have to give themselves some sort of moniker of validity. They have to do it. But on the inside, they're nothing more than a Democrat. And that's who John Roberts is. And that's why John Roberts was the deciding vote on Obamacare and voted for it. As if that's constitutional, to force people to get insurance. How is that constitutional? Well, then the people could die. Well, that's their choice, is it not? In case you're wondering why he's setting his own credibility on fire to defend Boasberg for impeachment investigations. There you go. Because, and again, John Roberts has come out and weighed in about judicial impeachments. I thought if you're going to be politically unbiased, then why are you weighing in on judicial impeachments when they are a House issue?
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense. All right, let's go to the next one. Wall Street Apes video. This may be the most corrupt thing. Harriet Hageman on, I never heard this before. The change of subjects now, by the way. It's on campaign. We're doing some randoms here. We got campaign corruption. NYC mayor, you got to see the video he just put out about socializing grocery stores. Truth. He's running for mayor in NYC. Right Angle News Network on Media Lies. So we're going to jump around for a little bit. Then we're going to go on what was released actually out of the JFK stuff that's been surmised on Twitter via Gateway Pundit. Then we're going to get into Doge, just so you know what's coming up. All right, so this may be the most, Wall Street Apes video, this may be the most corrupt thing. Here's Harriet Hageman. Republican poll workers were banned. Who were they banned by? Listen to this. Play for me.
Something else people don't know is that starting in the mid-1980s, there was a judge, a federal district court judge in New Jersey, who entered a consent decree that Republicans could not be poll watchers. So from mid-80s until 2020, Republicans were not allowed to be poll watchers on these national elections. And what happened was that judge eventually died, and the Democrats, the DNC, they had to go get that injunction renewed every 5 or 8 years, something along those lines. And when that judge died, he was replaced by an Obama judge. And they went back to that judge and they said, we want this consent decree in place, making it so Republicans cannot be poll watchers and cannot be a part of this process. Mm. And he said, what in the heck are you talking about? This is absolutely so unconstitutional. And he refused to renew that consent decree. He refused to renew that injunction. So 2020 was one of the first years that we had professional Republican poll watchers in these elections to see what was going on in Atlanta, in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia. Mm. It was the first time we were able to really see what was going on in these polling places. And what that tells me is that probably a lot of these shenanigans had been going on for a long, long time, but there were no Republicans there to report on it.
The reason why there is no Republicans to report on is because, ostensibly speaking, Republicans are the same as Democrats. Republicans, I mean, on the whole, the Republican Party is no different. Platform is very different, but Republicans legislate the same. You get into these cities, nobody wants to fight. It doesn't even matter whether it's even in one of these cities or not. This was going on for decades. Republican poll workers, in other words, poll watchers, who are sitting there watching the legitimacy of the vote, the legality of the vote, were banned from watching it while Democrats, and the Democrats sit back and say, trust us. You just trust us. And if you dare question it, then you're a threat to democracy, a seditious conspiracist, or you are, you know, an absolute anarchist. You know, whatever they want, insurrectionist. So that's their biggest term. But anyway, so you get these situations where you have a ban. You actually have a ban on poll workers. For years and years, and nobody does the thing about it. You're like, Tommy should be attacking the Democrat. Democrats are doing what Democrats do. They're horrible, corrupt people. Where were the Republicans? Where were the Republicans actually fighting against this? None. I mean, how would you not know that you have, I mean, think about it now. For decades, there was Democrat poll workers standing right there, and you're a Republican, and you volunteer to be a poll worker, and they tell you no. Where were the challenges? Where were the calls to the police department? Where was the calls? Where was the RNC? Because here's the thing. Again, it comes back to this, and I'm not going to go deep into this, but this is the way that it is. Trump is changing all of that. That's why he's the greatest president in the history of the United States of America. Because what you have is basically a fraudulent play or a movie unfolding right before your very eyes. And you're like, Tom, aren't you a Republican? I'm a Republican through and through. Love the platform, but I don't trust Republicans. Look at where we are, $37 trillion in debt. That's not that. How many administrations were Republican and how many administrations were Democrat? Because we are less than $1 trillion in debt in the year 2000. And now we're $37 trillion in debt in 2025. Now that you had right in order, Bush, Obama, right? Trump, Biden, Trump, exactly equal for all intents and purposes. And then we went into major debt, even under Donald Trump, because of COVID, went into major debt. $7 trillion spent on COVID, only $800 billion was actually spent on COVID, and $6.2 billion went into the wind into all these NGOs that are employing Democrats and then employing more Democrats and then hiring more Democrats. That's where all the money has gone. But why were we not standing up? Because here's the thing, Republicans and Democrats are no different. They believe when you're dealing with the Mitch McConnells of the world, the Romneys of the world, the Murkowskis of, she's getting some heat right now from Elon Murkowski because she's so useless. And he's talking, I mean, allegedly there's rumors about him pouring a lot of money into challenging her. She needs to be removed. But they have ranked choice voting in Alaska. She was put in there by her daddy. So it's very difficult to get her out of that office. She's absolutely useless. And she put out a little speech today. How in the world can you question my Republicanism? I can question it very easily since you never voted as one. Very easy to question your Republicanism when you aren't one. And that's what she is, what most of them are. And they simply occupy seats to fool you into thinking people are there fighting for you. They're not there fighting for you. There's a few that are there fighting for you. The Rand Pauls of the world, the Thomas Massey of the world, the Ron Johnsons of the world, Gates when he was there, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, a few people. And I know some of them have faults and failings and all. I get it. I'm just saying those are the ones who are legitimate that actually put their seats on the line. There's others too that I'm leaving out. But anyway, so this went on for decades. Republican poll workers were banned via judicial edict, a judge. How does that even happen? Because if nobody says anything about it, that's how it happens. That's how you end up spending $50 million on circumcisions in Mozambique. And you and I are spending $50 million a year on condoms in Afghanistan to this day. Didn't we relinquish Afghanistan? And 13 of our American service members died at Abbey Gate? Isn't that what happened? Didn't we relinquish it? Why are we still sending $43 million a week over there? To this day, we're still sending $43 million a week over there. Come on, the dead clock. It's still going. $1 million every 21 seconds is spent by this government. Right now, Republicans or Democrats. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, vaccine thing here. I just had to put this one up because this is new. We've heard about the myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clotting, turbo cancers. Here's another little side effect from these glorious vaccines. Sudden and unexpected video, another vaccine side effect. How about some turbo aging? How many of us have noticed this? Have you noticed it? Because I have. I've noticed that people right now, I'm like, okay, I know that people age. I understand that. But I'll see a person, like, you know, somebody who I know was vaxxed, and I hadn't seen them for a year or two or even 6 months, and I'm like, man, they look horrible. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that, like, with congressional, you know, officials and congressmen and women. I'm like, my word.
Yeah.
They have aged. They're bent over. They've aged. And I'm like, well, there's a reason behind it. So sudden and unexpected, and it validates what I've been thinking because I'm like, man, is it me or are these people greatly aged? Well, it's another vaccine. A side effect is turbo aging. Play it for me.
Very convincing reports that people after the vaccination suddenly appear to look much older. Now, this may be due to psychological factors too, but we definitely have proof that these elastic fibers, in some cases, are profoundly destroyed in the skin. I have one example here, and you see on the left side, there's a very delicate network of very fine elastic fibers. They are black. On the top is the epithelium of the dermis, and here you can see this man, he's 38 years old, and he has a vasculitis of the skin. Here you can see there's these very delicate black lines here. These are the remnants of the elastic fibers, and there's no network below the basement membrane.
So there you go. And again, I don't understand all the biology behind it. I have to deep dive into it, and I just threw that video on when I saw it today, but there's another side effect right there. Because you know what you're not supposed to do? Alter God's system. Tom, you're just saying that because you're a Christian. Really? How do men know better with this? How would a person know better? And I respect, like I always say, like orthopedic surgeons, you got a torn ACL, they come in and fix it. I get that. But you know, the immune system is good in and of itself. And this is all just a money-making proposition. Measles being the ultimate example. When America was a cesspool, an absolute cesspool, and I mean literal cesspool, with feces flowing down the streets, we had 300 Americans die per year out of millions, tens of millions of Americans, 300 people, not 300,000, not 3,000, 300 Americans died per year. And you have to have a measles vaccine? When basically the entire world is full of bacteria, the entire world is sewage, and now you have to have a vaccine when 300 people out of 200 million die, you have to have a vaccine. Then there's a money-making proposition behind that because the numbers do not add up. You know what? Most people survive the measles. 100%. I mean, just like COVID-19. 99.98 survivability rate post-infection. What's the point of having a vaccine? There isn't any except people like Anthony Fauci making money. Pfizer and Albert Bourla making money. That's the purpose of it all. And now you look at the side effects of this thing. You're not supposed to alter your genes where they permanently produce an X-spike protein. You're not supposed to do that. And when the developer, Robert W. Malone, says, do not use mRNA as a vaccination against a viral infection. When Carrie Mullis, the developer of PCR, says, do not use PCR to test for the existence of a viral infection. And what does Fauci do? What does the NIH do? What does Francis Collins do? Do the exact opposite of what the inventors tell them to do, and do the exact opposite of what these technologies are meant to do. It's not meant, you're not supposed to go in and alter your genetic material. Then you end up with turbo aging, turbo cancers, blood clots, myocarditis, and a myriad of other maladies and diseases. Let's go to the next one. Ian Miles Chong video. NYC's next mayor wants to create government-owned. This is serious, by the way. This is not a minor player. This is a major player who's going to run as a Democrat against Eric Adams. Because they don't like Eric Adams because Eric Adams has decided to cooperate with ICE. So here's, this is one of the guys who was yelling at Tom Holman when he exited the courthouse in NYC. NYC's mayor wants to create government-owned, taxpayer-subsidized grocery stores to compete with private businesses and lower prices. Play for me.
Grocery prices are out of control. The cost of eggs and milk has skyrocketed. Some stores are even using dynamic pricing, jacking up the cost over the course of a day, depending on what they can get away with. It doesn't need to be this way. I'm Zahran Mamdani, and as mayor, I will create a network of city-owned grocery stores. It's like a public option for produce. We will redirect city funds from corporate supermarkets to city-owned grocery stores whose mission is lower prices, not price gouging. These stores will operate without a profit motive or having to pay property taxes or rent, and will pass on those savings to you.
All right, so there you go. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say except Aaron gave me the information. This guy's name is Zahran Mamdani, of course, strike one, born in Kampala, Uganda. Strike two.
Yeah.
And here's strike three. He is a Muslim. Of course. And what does he want to do? Create a socialist grocery store system inside of NYC so that we can be just like London. Mm-hmm. So NYC can be just like London. I mean, I know kind of NYC's already gone. They've already vote for their demise. He's running against Cuomo, the former governor. I mean, which one's going to be worse? I mean, COVID totalitarian Cuomo. Religious totalitarian zealot, whatever his name is. Again, I forgot his name now. Aaron gave me his name, but I forgot. Oh, there it is. Zahran Mamdani. Mamdani. Hard to say that one. Born in Kabbalah and Ghana, and he's a Muslim. But anyway, so which one's worse? I don't know. But you have Sadiq Khan as the mayor of London, and we went through it last night. I believe it was played in the post game of all the different cities inside of the UK that are now that the mayorships, whatever it is, mayor offices are held by Muslims. Mm. And so you have 60, I can't remember, no, it wasn't 60 million. Maybe it was 60 million. I can't remember what the citizenry is of the UK. It's like 60 million people and only 4 million of them are Muslims, but they hold all of these mayorships, including in London. Because everybody's afraid of being called Islamophobic. I'm not. I can't stand. As a matter of fact, I hate the Islamic religion. I don't hate the Islamic person. I hate the Islamic religion because it is antithetical to the Bible and it's a cultist lie. So I can't stand it. And it causes lots and lots of death. And they kill each other, by the way, constantly. The number one cause of death for a Muslim, as far as violence is concerned, is from another Muslim. It's as simple as that. Let's go to the next one. Right Angle News Network video. Breaking: MSNBC forced to retract lie. Play it for me.
Last night, The Last Word reported on excerpts of an interview between the director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and an Indian TV news network in which she said Trump was good friends with a world leader. Now, we said that world leader was Vladimir Putin, but the full interview was subsequently released, and it showed that Gabbard was referring to Donald Trump and the Indian prime minister. Narendra Modi.
Last night, we reported on excerpts of an interview between the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and an Indian TV news network in which she said that Trump was good friends with a world leader. We said that world leader was Vladimir Putin, but the full interview shows that Gabbard was referring to Trump and Indian Prime Minister Modi.
So again, it's just doing what they always do. Just bold-faced lie. Now, why are they doing the retractions? Remember, they didn't used to. Remember, we watch, you'd watch The View, the clips from The View, and just bold-faced lying, whether it's Whoopi or Joy Behard or Sonny Hostin or whatever, Farrah Griffin, whatever her name is. Just bold-faced lie. And now they're all doing these retractions. Why are they doing that? Fear of Elon. Absolute fear of Elon. Fear of Trump. They're absolutely petrified. Trump's already sued and won over George Stephanopoulos with $16 million that they had to yield, and Stephanopoulos had to do a public apology. None of them want to do that, so now they come back. Otherwise, they come back with these retractions. Otherwise, they just let them fly. Because all that was said in that interview is that Trump is good friends with somebody, and they all attach Putin to it. The interview was conducted in India about Modi. Wouldn't you just simply defer to the fact, if it's an interview about Modi in India, that who the person is who Trump is talking about is, or I can't remember who it was that was interviewed now. Oh, Tulsi Gabbard. So Tulsi Gabbard's talking about who is, you know, she's being interviewed in India or about India, about Modi, and he is good friends, and they just. And they didn't even, I think she even probably even said afterwards with Modi or with him or whatever. And it was obviously either using a pronoun that was obviously attached to Modi. Wouldn't you just simply default to the fact that she's talking about Modi when the interview is about India and Modi? And what they do is just clip it and say Donald Trump is friends with Putin. And remember, just imagine how simplistic you have to be in a horrible sort of way. A Proverbs 14:15 kind of way. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. I mean, to be a Democrat, to be these, whether it's Stephanie Ruhle or Ali Velshi, strike two, and you have to retract. You're so simple-minded that people have fed into you. Putin bad, Zelensky good. How exactly are they good and how are they bad? Zelensky was invaded in an unprovoked way. Was it really unprovoked? Have you ever actually studied it? That they had 11 nation incursion, 11 nation violation into the Russian territory, but encroaching upon the Russian territory, in violation of promises that were made, in violations of treaties, in violations of agreement, and they keep saying, it was an unprovoked attack, Slava Ukraine. That's these idiots like Stephanie Ruhle. Now, they're either purposeful idiots in that, what I mean by that is they're presented with facts and ignore them, or they are absolutely ignorant people. Ignoramuses that actually never do any actual study in any way, shape, or form. They never actually look into anything. Well, why would Russia suddenly invade Ukraine? You ever think of it? Because they want to take over all of Europe when they've already done that. I mean, a lot of you may not be old enough. A lot of you may not be old enough to remember the Soviet Union, USSR. They wanted to take Europe then. Easily could have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What's France going to do? Only thing that France has ever been able to do is hike their shorts down, bend over, and grab their butt cheeks. That's all they've ever been able to do. Well, who would resist? Who? Spain? Is Norway suddenly going to rise up? All these people that now hate Trump, even though they live under the shelter of his wing. I mean, it really is. It really is unreal that these people make these statements, because there is absolutely no attachment to reality at all with that statement about Putin. All right, the stuff that's been released about JFK, and I'm getting this all from The Gateway Pundit. It's basically a summation of all of the Twitter sleuths. And these are good. I'm talking about Mario Nofalls of the world, people like that. This is what's been pulled so far out of the JFK files, which, by the way, have overall been a universal disappointment.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that, right? I mean, nothing has happened. There's supposed to be a big tranche released today. I have not seen any info on that. So right now we kind of got Epstein files too. And what I would rather the Trump administration would do is just say nothing and just sudden release them. Because what the Epstein files are coming out tomorrow. The Epstein files are coming out 2 days from now. You start looking bad. And what is an absolute abomination with the binder release with Pam Bondi. She looked horrible. It made Trump in a secondhand way look horrible. It made the conservative pundits, you know, DC Drano and the rest of them, Liz Wheeler, they looked horrible when they walk out of the White House with their binders. They all end up looking terrible, just terrible. Okay, that's just a fact. I told you, this is the truth podcast. I believe Donald Trump is the greatest president in the history of America. I do. If he runs again in 2028, I'm voting for him. If Bannon's working on it right now. Yes, I mean, I'm telling you, because, listen, is he not really, when we read the Constitution, is he not allowed to run again? Is he not allowed to? Isn't it congruent? Isn't it congruent of 8 year or, you know, and it doesn't have to be a congruent 8 years, a continuous 8 years. I don't know. So anyway, I'm definitely not a constitutional attorney. I think he's the greatest thing in the world. I think he's the greatest president we've ever had. And I'll vote for him again in 2028. I'm just saying he's not perfect. And I would rather right now with these releases of information is just say nothing. Just say we're working on it and then release it right now when it's actually real, or just, you know what? Don't release it.
Yeah.
And we'll all sit here and go, what is everybody hiding? And you know what? That's the truth. What is everybody hiding? Maybe Trump feels like he needs to hide something. I don't agree with it. I'm just saying maybe he feels like he needs to hide something. Why have we not gotten anything on Epstein? Why can't they continue releasing? Epstein's dead. You know, what was it that Bill Gates said about Epstein, Aaron?
Well, he's dead, so.
Yeah, there's the exact quote. Well, he's dead, so. That's the exact quote. So, I mean, why have we not gotten all the Epstein information? Why is it being held back? Why? What? Oh, we're retracting victims. Folks, does everyone... I mean, I know most people obviously were not cops, but I was for 25 years. And you have a report. How hard is it to redact the victim? The report. That's because that's what I always hear. Ever heard that from Pam Bondi even? Well, we have to take time to redact the victims out. Okay, folks, let me just tell you one thing. First of all, if it's a minor victim, they're not in the report. You know, what are you talking about? They're not in the report. They're in a supplemental report. And in the report itself, it simply says victim one, victim two, victim three. So what are you redacting? All you have to do is leave out the supplemental report with the victim's name on it. That's all that it is. Because in the actual narrative, in the report, it doesn't have the victim's name there anyway. So is that any of that true? Makes me not trust Pam Bondi because I know that. So why are we not getting the Epstein files? Tom, don't attack Trump. I'll attack whoever I want. And that means I have zero viewers and I have zero viewers. That's okay. I mean, I love doing the podcast. I love, it's the same thing here at the church. If people don't want the Bible, then don't come. Bible's coming. Hellfire, brimstone's coming. Promises of God are coming. Judgment of God is coming. The encouragement of God is coming. The joy of God is coming. The fire of God is also coming. Hellfire and brimstone's coming. The Bible's coming. It's the same thing we have to do with everything. Truth is simply the truth. Running from it does not actually make somebody better. If we didn't tell the truth about Donald Trump, it does not increase his level of validity. It doesn't increase his profile. It diminishes it. So here's the thing. JFK is what, this is a conglomeration of what's been found in those files from Twitter sleuths. Lee Harvey Oswald was reportedly considered a poor shot during his target practice in the USSR. JFK files reveal Lee Harvey Oswald was a spy, tried twice to obtain USSR visa, Soviet visa, from Mexico City. CIA memo from September 24, 1963, confirms Lee Harvey Oswald was under surveillance by the CIA 59 days before the JFK assassination, just like all the other ones. They're always under surveillance, and nobody does a freaking thing about it because the people that are surveying them are in on the shooting. Gary Underhill claimed the CIA was responsible for the JFK's assassination. I think the best thing that I've seen so far is the actual tape with the two guys talking about Lyndon Johnson. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing I've seen. Then he was later found dead. Gary Underhill claimed the CIA was responsible for JFK's assassination. Then this was pre-Hillary, but then he got Hillary'd. Then he was later found dead in what was ruled a suicide. A man named Sergei, I'm not even going to, Cernohoff, allegedly had knowledge that Oswald would be killed after assassinating Kennedy and that Martin Luther King Jr. would be assassinated. This is all in the JFK files. He also knew in advance that Kennedy would be killed in Dallas. Jack Ruby claimed that his decision to kill Oswald was influenced by his Jewish identity. This is all in the files, not me. Mere hours after Jack Ruby shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover urgently called for a swift public report to prevent conspiracy theories from gaining traction. Never let the truth get out. That's what we're guarding you from the truth. That's what they always say. We're guarding you from the truth because we don't want crazy conspiracy theories. So instead of a conspiracy theory, you'd rather have a bold-faced lie. So we're gonna guard our lies. Right. We're gonna make sure that only our lies get out, so there's no conspiracy theories, which are also lies potentially. So we'd rather have our lies than other people's lies. That's what whenever they shall say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, whenever they shall say peace and safety, verses 3 and 4. Watch out, we're going to keep you safe. We don't want any conspiracy theories out there. Lee Harvey Oswald was allegedly under direction of KGB officer Kostikov, reportedly linked to Department 5. J. Edgar Hoover was asked, these are all little independent things. If you're wondering, is there any congruity in these things? No, I'm just reading you these assertions. They're not even assertions. This is what was found in the JFK files. J. Edgar Hoover was asked whether Lee Harvey Oswald was an FBI agent and if there was a conspiracy to assassinate JFK. A letter addressed to then-Senator Joe Biden accused him of being a traitor. This is the JFK files. The letter was signed JFK Jr., accused of Biden. So you have Gary Underhill claimed the CIA was responsible for JFK assassination. He later died by suicide. Mm. JFK Jr. calls Joe Biden a traitor and dies in a plane crash. That's unexplainable. Hmm. The CIA was intercepting U.S. Postal Service mail. That's always lovely. Sent to the USSR and had 300 CIA members indexing a quarter million names. In an interview with FBI Assistant Director Alan Belmont on May 6, 1964, includes questions about Ruby and Oswald's connections. Reportedly, they met a week before the assassination-ish. Or not, maybe not a week before the assassination, or was it? Well, it couldn't have been because Lee Harvey Oswald was in prison, but they had met before. On page 27, but many pages are missing with the interview supposedly extending to page 473. So you have all these missing pages. So is there anything left of this? I mean, come on. John Brennan was in charge of the CIA. I mean, Leon Panetta was in charge of the CIA. Do we honestly believe that anything that would, I don't know, put guilt on anybody is actually still there? I mean, why would they leave all of this in? If they're willing to have a conspiracy, you know, if they're willing to assassinate the president of the United States, are they going to leave the paperwork behind that leads a trail to them? I mean, I don't think so. And maybe that's what needs just to be said, that there is nothing. Maybe that's the same thing with Epstein. If you have all of these people that are linked to Epstein, linked to committing pedophilic crimes with Jeffrey Epstein, and you have their defenders that are the ones that actually hold the documents, are there any of the documents actually still there?
Right.
We all need to ask these questions because we might all be massively disappointed because all of these documents may have long since been shredded. A man claiming to be a Polish driver for a Russian vehicle, warning of Soviet plans to pay someone in the U.S. to assassinate the president. Newly released JFK assassination records expose a failed 1955 CIA surveillance operation in Havana. CIA memos reveal the agency officers claimed they couldn't recall Watergate burglars James McCord's involvement in Cuba operations. I told you, these are just miscellaneous findings. JFK files reveal CIA's extensive global operations listing 34 secret field bases across Africa, Europe, Asia, and Latin America. Secret bases held by the CIA. That's lovely. JFK sought to dismantle the CIA's independent authority and then was shot and killed. So there you go. All right, so let's go to Doge for a couple minutes. Libs of TikTok video. This is Tim Walz. I played this in the pregame. I'm using this to set it up. This is what Democrats are doing. They're actually stirring up violence against Elon Musk. Play it for me.
Saying on my phone, I don't know, some of you know this on the iPhone, they've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So. And if you own one, If you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
So he's even telling you how to damage a Tesla. And he's like, if you own it, that's what, you know, it's just camouflage. If you own it, this is how you can damage it. And so this is what the Democrats are on and about doing. This is all that you have is to root for the demise of a company that employs many Democrats. Does Tim Walz know that? You know, Mr. What do you call him, Aaron? Broadway hands, or what do you call it? I can't remember.
Oh, gosh. Whatever. Spear fingers.
Yeah, well, no, there's something else. But anyway, Mr. Effeminate, again, an effeminate male trying to govern us. This is all the Democratic Party has to offer, is to try to tear down an American company that employs many Democrats. Think about that if you're a Democrat. All right, let's go to the next one. Mario Nafal tweet. 830 million for surveys. Doge catches questionable consulting group. Get this now. The United States Department of the Interior is shutting down the federal consulting group. There it is. Now, here's my point. I know this gets kind of muddy, but most of the government is in and of itself an NGO, a non-government organization, because it doesn't do anything to govern. It doesn't do anything that actually benefits the United States of America. Ask yourself this question. Have you ever received anything from the United States Department of the Interior? Have you ever received anything from the Federal Consulting Group? These are simply institutions that are set up to employ Democrats. Remember, you're like, Tom, it can't be all. It is all Democrats. These are all. Located, their headquarters are all located, at least their headquarters, are located in Washington, D.C. And 95% of D.C. voted for Joe Biden. These are simply institutions to fund Democrats, fund them personally, and then fund Democratic Party operations and operatives and lawyers. That's all the United States government is. Our budget this year is $6.8 trillion. We're going to bring in $4 to $5 trillion in tax revenue, but we're going to spend an extra $2 trillion on top of it for what? You tell me we can't make it by on $2 trillion a year? We can make it by on $2 trillion a year. Right now, like, we'll never lower these debts and deficits. Why? What has to be? Listen, even with Social Security, even with Medicare and Medicaid, you get rid of the fraud in those institutions. We don't have to cut any of those. I'm talking about massive cuts to the military. Absolutely. Why? Because the military, most of the time, is a CIA cutout. I mean, this doesn't take away from the heroism of our soldiers. Not one soldier has to lose their job. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about one soldier losing their job. I'm actually talking about increasing personnel, but get rid of the useless fat, the useless bases, the useless jobs that we make our military do. Get rid of all of those things. But anyway, back to this. The U.S. Department of the Interior is shutting down the Federal Consulting Group, a little-known agency that brokered consulting contracts. So you have a consulting firm that consults on consulting contracts. You're telling me that this isn't a setup to just give Democrat operatives jobs and multimillion-dollar contracts? Listen, Federal Consulting Group, a little-known agency that brokers consulting contracts between government departments. So you have to have a consulting group that brokers consulting contracts? One eye-opening example, FCG arranged a $75 million contract just to design website customer satisfaction surveys. What on earth is that? One eye-opening example, FCG arranged a $75 million contract to design website customer satisfaction survey. So you have to spend $75 million on a customer satisfaction survey, then try to push through an $830 million deal for similar work.
Oh my gosh.
Then they $75 million for a contract to design a website customer satisfaction survey. So they're going to pay themselves $75 million for surveys, then try to push through an $830 million deal to make more satisfaction surveys. So you're going to pay yourself a total right here of basically $920 million to create satisfaction surveys? That's why you end up in Congress where you have a congressman holding up a bag of rivets, saying, explain to me, asking a military official, a high-ranking military official, explain to me how this bag of rivets that cost $12 at Home Depot cost you $90,000. That's why. So Democrats can have multi-million dollar salaries. Not even that. You're like, not everybody's. No, but if you have an organization, let's just say the U.S. Department of Interior, who underneath them has the Federal Consulting Group. Now you're dealing with thousands. USAID is the example. 14,000 employees. So all the Democrats have a job. There's no Republicans in there. 98% of USAID contributed to the Democratic Party, not voted for the Democratic Party, contributed to the Democratic Party. That's why it's been cut down from workforce of 14,000 to workforce of 300, unless a judge's injunction has stopped that. All this trillions of dollars, and as a Democrat, right now, if you're a Democrat in 2024, your position, your platform is, I want to continue to spend trillions of dollars on nothing. And it is absolutely, look at this. Is any of that anything? $75 million contract just to design website customer satisfaction surveys, then try to push through an $830 million deal to do the same thing? And that you as a Democrat, right now, your stance is, what you believe in is continuing to do that. That's what you're advocating for. You are an advocate to continue to do that. Also, Democrats can have jobs. Let's go to the next one. Lives a TikTok tweet. More LGBTQ terrorism every single time. I thought that they were the victims of a trans genocide. Why is it that we can't find one victim of a trans genocide, but we can find lots and lots of perpetrators of violence on who are transgender themselves? The transgender people are supposed to be victims of a trans genocide conducted by white supremacist terrorists inside the United States of America, the most grievous threat to America, according to Joe Biden. And there's not one video of a white man attacking a trans person. Not one. We have lots of videos of trans people attacking other people. We have lots of that. We have no actual violence against trans people, but they perpetually say that they're victims of violence. And if we don't let them be trans, then that's actual violence conducted against them. But only people that are actually committing violence are trans people. This is a guy with a taped up penis. That's who this guy is. Nothing else. He can call himself Aaron White all he wants. That's a man with a taped up penis. Aaron L. White, a self-identified she-they, was arrested for allegedly vandalizing a Tesla service center in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. White allegedly used spray paint to write, Trump sold us something, F. Elon Musk, and trans rights are human rights on the front windows of the building. The uptick in trans violence is very concerning. Now, just ask yourself, what has Trump done that's anti-trans? He doesn't let them be in the military. That's it. Because you can't have an affective fighting force if you have trans people in the military, so they can't be in the military. Other than that, nothing. There's nothing. Nobody's doing anything to them. Not one thing. It's the way it is. You can't have an affective fighting force when you have a man dressed as a woman. You're going to have a man in stockings and high heels in the military as an infantryman or infantrywoman, they would call themselves. No, it doesn't work. Other than that, not one thing. All right, go to the next one for me. Real America's Voice video. Here's another one for you. This is on the United Institute of Peace. Play it for me.
So on the United States Institute of Peace, this is a little bit wild. I understand the old president refused to leave. After he was removed from his position, he barricaded himself in his offices, had to be escorted out by police, left the building without Wi-Fi, telephones, elevators, and more, and is now telling media that DOJ broke in and illegally removed him. So can you comment on this sequence of events and specify, did DOJ illegally enter?
I'm really glad you brought this up, Mary. We were made aware of this story by individuals at DOGE, at Elon Musk's team, and also at the State Department who were unable to access this building. And it became very clear that there was a concerted effort amongst the rogue bureaucrats at the United States Institute of Peace to actually physically barricade themselves essentially inside of the building to prevent political appointees of this administration who work at the direction of the President of the United States to get into the building. There was a piece in the Daily Caller, thank you for sharing the truth on this, about what happened. Staff contacted the MPD in an attempt to prevent DOGE personnel from entering. They barricaded the doors. They also disabled telephone lines, internet connections, and other IT infrastructure within the building. They distributed flyers internally, encouraging each other to basically prevent these individuals from accessing the building. I use this to say this is what DOGE and this administration is facing. It's a resistance from bureaucrats who don't want to see change in this city. President Trump was elected on an overwhelming mandate to seek change and implement change, and this is unacceptable behavior.
So you have an agency that is fully funded by the United States government. So in other words, it basically is a government agency that refused to allow a government agency to enter it and then sabotaged all of its equipment, including the elevators, inside of it. These people need to go to prison. Look at this, Mike Benz. You have this United Institute for Peace. And why is USAID's network partner, the U.S. Institute of Peace, lobbying the Taliban to keep 95% of the world's heroin supply flowing while taking $56 million from U.S. taxpayers each year? So you and I fund the United Institute of Peace to the tune of $56 million a year. And the person who runs this refused to leave the building upon administrative command by the Trump administration and sabotage the physical, actual equipment inside of the building. Sabotaged it. And look at what they're on and about doing on a daily basis. Oh, just lobbying the Taliban to keep 95% of the world's heroin supply flowing. So the Institute of Peace, basically an NGO that you and I pay for every year for $56 million a year. $56 million a year. It's never benefited Aaron. It's never benefited me. It's never benefited Will. It's never benefited anybody. But it's the United States Institute of Peace, which is basically, it sounds like it's the United Institute of Keeping Heroin Flowing. So we can just call it the United Institute of Heroin because they lobby the Taliban. So you and I are paying an NGO $56 million a year to fly over and lobby the Taliban to keep their heroin supply going into the United States of America. And then they refuse to comply with commands from DOGE. Unbelievable. All right, listen to this from another Gateway Pundit article. Elon Musk says DOGE discovered 14 magic money computers. This cannot be true. It's true. This is his interview with Ted Cruz. This is all true. Elon Musk, when has Elon been wrong yet? He's the only one that can rescue people from space. Yeah, we know that. So, I mean, and many other things. Elon Musk says DOGE discovered 14 magic money computers, which can just make money out of thin air. What? Elon Musk, the tech millionaire and now self-proclaimed advocate for government efficiency, has revealed a stunning financial scandal hidden within the depths of our government. Speaking on Senator Ted Cruz's Verdict podcast, Musk disclosed the existence of what he calls magic money computers. During the explosive interview, Musk explained how these government computers can conjure up trillions of dollars out of thin air, completely detached from a synchronized network. According to Musk, 14 such machines have been uncovered across various agencies. So what we have is a government. This is just like a Bukele was talking about at CPAC, that money, for all intents and purposes, doesn't mean anything. Because the government can just print it. They can print it on demand with no backing in 14 computers. According to Musk, 14 such machines have been uncovered across various agencies, mostly at the Treasury Department, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Defense, and even the State Department. Musk's revelations suggest that federal spending is even more chaotic and reckless, as if that were possible, than the public realizes, although true. With multiple magic money computers operating independently, government agencies are issuing massive payments that don't add up to the numbers being reported to Congress or the American people. So they just print up money in and of themselves. And this is digital money. So they just print up digital money to pay for things that aren't actually part of our national debt. Or reported to Congress. Oh, you mean so the deep state actually exists? Yeah. Ted Cruz, quote, Now, one of the things you told me, it's Ted Cruz talking, about is what you called magic money computers at the Treasury. Tell us about it, because I had never heard of that until you brought it up. Ted Cruz, a sitting senator for the last decade. Never heard of it. Elon Musk's reply. Okay, so you may think that the government computers all talk to each other, synchronize, add up what funds are going where. And that it's coherent. And that the numbers, for example, that you're presented as a senator are actually the real numbers. Ted Cruz, one would think. Elon Musk, one would think they're not. Ted Cruz, yeah. Elon Musk, quote, they're not totally wrong, but they're probably off by 5 or 10% out of $7 trillion per year. I call a magic money computer any computer that can just make money out of thin air, best magic money. Ted Cruz, how does that work? Elon Musk, it just issues payments. Ted Cruz, you said there's something like 11 of those computers at Treasury, 14 total, that are sending out trillions in payments. Elon Musk, they're mostly at Treasury, some at HHS, there's one at State, some at DOD. I think we're found 14 magic money computers now. Ted Cruz, 14. Okay, Elon Musk. They just send money out of nothing. Tom, explain that. I can't go, Aaron.
That's like finding like your wife has a secret credit card that's got a bunch of stuff on it.
Yeah. It's like unexplainable. But yeah. The thing is, there would actually be a record of it. There's no record. The Congress has no idea what's going on here.
Oh, my gosh.
No idea. Let me just show you what's going on in Great Britain. BBC News pick, ex-boxer jailed for racially offensive posts. Okay, this is where. Now, remember, UK arrests 3,300 people a year for offensive posts, for saying offensive things. Russia arrests 400 people a year for speech crimes. Russia. And Great Britain is going to, as the representative of democracy, is going to go fight Russia. I mean, again, this is, again, like Lisa Murkowski talking about, this is all in her speech. You can pull it up. It's on Twitter. I'm not a good enough Republican, people say. Yeah, because you never vote Republican. How are you going to go and be a representative of democracy when there is no essence of democracy that's a part of your governance? How does that make sense? Because you once were a democracy, now you can represent democracy? There's no essence left. The court heard that in videos referring to Muslims, Hege made comments including, he didn't even say Muslim, young white girls are being raped by these grooming gangs, and now he's in prison. Tommy Robinson's still in solitary as we speak. How many months has that been now? For nothing more than creating a film about the crimes that Muslims are committing. Are Muslims committing the crimes? Yes. So what's wrong with saying Muslims are committing the crime? If a white guy committed the crime, would we not simply just say, a white man committed the crime? Is that not even on the police report? White male. Believe me, it is. So he's serving 11 months for that statement and a few others, but they're all on the same line. This is from Peter Lloyd. Just a little article off of Twitter. A white working class man, him right here. Just leave this up because it's about him. Derek Hagee has been jailed for nearly 11 months. His crime stating that white girls are being raped by grooming gangs in a YouTube video. The judiciary declared this offensive to Muslims. Okay, did he say the word Muslim? So who is attaching it to Muslims? So the people who say that he's offensive towards Muslims are the ones who are attaching white girls are being raped by grooming gangs to Muslims. So aren't they the Islamophobic people? So the ones that are imprisoning him for Islamophobia are Islamophobic, because he didn't even use the word Islam. He just simply said there's white girls being raped by grooming gangs, which is, by the way, absolutely and completely true. And guess who comprises the entirety of the grooming gangs? Muslims that have illegally immigrated into the UK. And here's a little video, Radio Genova video. Here's how it works. Play it for me. Now, did you notice any women there? Because what that is hordes of fake asylum seekers from Pakistan have just invaded England via France. Nobody's stopping them. Where's the women that we're all, remember, that's what we're always told, that it's women and children and we need to be their salvation. We need to be, you know, the country that offers them opportunity. There's not one woman there. Yeah. I'm guessing all these guys want to form themselves some grooming gangs and go rape white women. That's what I'm assuming, because that's exactly what happens all the time. All of them? Absolutely not. A lot of them? Absolutely yes. Look at the rape numbers inside of these countries that have allowed mass illegal Muslim migration into their countries. All right, actual short one tonight, 10-10, that's good. Rumble Rants, Nude Monk, $20. Gucci Buckeye, $20. Christopher Arnott, $1. Thank you guys so much. In the rant, stick around for the post game. It is awesome. It's a lot of profanity. Just warning you. And I'm trying to think of the right word, but it's a Ricky Gervais video towards the end of the podcast. I mean, towards the end of the post game, you got to see it. There's a lot of bad words in it. It's a lot of bad words. I mean, I'm trying to think of the exact word to describe without being hyperbolic. But anyway, stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night at 9:00. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.